Are you still searching for your perfect place to call home? Well, now is the time to buy at Fisher Homes. If you're looking to move in before the end of 2024, May could be your last opportunity to start building your dream home and close before the year's end. If you're hoping to move in even sooner, Fisher Homes also has homes that are move-in ready and waiting for you, where you can start enjoying the benefits of homeownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with a new home advisor today at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home.
Tired of pickup truck bed chaos? Meet Decked, game-changing USA-made full bed-length drawers for tools and gear. Waterproof, dustproof, lockable, secure. Whether you're working, hunting, fishing, camping, or just getting out of town. And introducing Decked Deco Cases. Tough, modular, problem-solving cases built for the truck, job site, campsite, or garage. Say goodbye to random bins and tie-downs. Order now at Decked.com/iHeart for free shipping. Decked, your truck, your rules. Decked.com/iHeart.
Welcome to the official Jets podcast. Eric Allen here at One Jets Drive, joined by LeJay Doosable. Well, the 2024 NFL draft came and went. What is your 30,000 foot observation of what the Jets did?
Very solid draft, okay. PA. A lot of position of needs were filled, right? And I know people we'll look at that first pick, and I know we're going to go pick by pick, but I thought it was a home run pick, the Olu Fashanu pick. Just when you look at, you know, where they got him at, where he can come into a situation where he's learning behind an all-pro and a consummate pro, one being Tyron Smith, the other being Morgan Moses. And then let's not also forget, when you look at Morgan Moses's deal, essentially that equates to a swing tackle deal, kind of like in the 21 season when he came to the Jets. So if Olu, you know, develops faster than the Jets think he will, there's a good chance, EA, that Olu's playing a lot sooner than people think.
Very interesting. Okay, so let's stick there with the big Penn State tackle. He has played left on the left side all the way since high school. What would the transition be for him as far as lining up on the right side?
Yeah, it's tough. It's literally, I've talked to a few offensive linemen, EA, and they say it's like doing everything backwards, like tying one hand behind your back, because you have to, your brain function has to switch everything, right? From your plant leg to your kick leg and everything. So to your punch hand, all that is opposite when you switch from one side to the other. So it's not as easy as people think. And the thing about it is, I love Tyron Smith, but EA, we've seen a history of him not being able to complete 17-game seasons. So that's the tricky thing for this Jets coaching staff in regards to Olu Fashanu. Like, when you're developing him, do you just keep him at left for the future and just in case Tyron Smith goes down? Or do you cross train him that way he's the swing guy and he can go in if anybody goes down at right or left tackle? So that's the tidbit that I cannot wait to find out what the plan is going to be going forward.
So you could see could see it going either way, right? Because there are arguments on both sides there that make a lot of sense.
Yeah, definitely. There's an argument that you just want to, you know, bring him in and just keep him and plant him at left tackle, because we kind of know what the Tyron Smith deal is going to be, a one-year thing. You took Olu at pick 11, so he's going to be the tackle of the future. Or because you want to get the best players out on the field, you cross-train him, right? And in case somebody goes down, say Morgan Moses goes down, knock on wood, because that's one thing he usually doesn't do is miss games, right? He's an Iron Man. But just in case, you know, you have him cross-train to go in at right tackle as well. So that's the caveat to this whole puzzle and putting it together for this coaching staff. Do we just plant him at left tackle, or do we cross-train him?
Yeah, we're going to love to see how that actually unfolds. Aaron Rodgers even mentioned him possibly playing guard. I don't see that
happening. I saw that. What do you think about that?
Listen, Aaron Rodgers, a brilliant dude. I think he's just probably just raving about his athletic ability. I think my take on that is probably, hey, he's going to be playing tackle in the National Football League. Yeah, right.
I don't see it.
What about the way the board actually fell before the Jets went on the clock at 10? We knew there was going to be a run on offensive players, and there certainly was. But what did you think about the Jets' options at 10 and also the possibility of moving up before that?
Yeah, and it's crazy, EA, because when we did this mock, I literally put us in the scenario that happened on throughout the draft.
Yeah,
I made
Thursday
it
night,
as hard as possible. I put it where there was going to be a run on so many offensive players that the Jets would have to trade up to potentially 8 to get Rome Odunze. But in ours, I stayed pat and took, you know, Troy Fatanu,
yes,
because Rome went at 9, just like he did in real life. So I think I would not be surprised if Joe D actually did reach out to Atlanta. I just think Atlanta was staying pat. I was one of the few people that had heard, you know, and got wind of the rumors that they could take Michael Penix Jr. I actually had a podcast that I do for CBS. I stated it on that Tuesday that do not be surprised that the Atlanta Falcons be a sneaky team to take a quarterback, and that quarterback be Michael Penix Jr. Just because I heard, EA, that they flew out and did extensive work on him. I know a lot of people didn't see that happening, them taking the quarterback at 8 just because they paid Kirk Cochane a boatload of money. But that kind of like threw the draft a little bit into tailspin, because even if Joe D reaches out to Atlanta, I heard rumors that 3 other teams were trying to trade in the top 10 to get Michael Penix Jr. So Atlanta was never leaving off of 8. So I think Joe D did what he could. And I love that he was able to trade back just one spot and pick up some draft capital. So kudos to him, you know, for being smart and tactical in that situation and being able to pick up a few extra picks by moving back just one spot.
So credit goes to you, because you've been high on Penix throughout the scouting process. You thought people were sleeping on him, and then it comes to fruition on Thursday night, round 1 of the draft, where he goes 8 overall.
Crazy.
Six quarterbacks taken in the top 12 selections? Too rich?
I never would have saw that. I would have never saw that. I'm not even going to. Like the Denver, I had talked to a few people, and I knew that Sean Payton and the Denver Brass were high on Knicks. I thought it was a scenario where they would try to trade back and maybe get him at the end of the first at worst. But I think there was a scenario where they were kind of pigeonholed just because of the way the draft fell, and maybe not too many people wanted to move up. Kind of surprised some teams didn't try to move up and get a Fatanu. He fell all the way to, I believe, what, 20 EA, which was a surprise. I did not see that happening in the draft. So maybe Denver did make some calls and nobody was willing to move up. And maybe they just didn't feel comfortable dropping back too far because they knew the Raiders were there at 13. And could they potentially have taken Bo Nix? So they ended up getting their quarterback of the future. It's, to me, a little rich, like you were saying. I didn't see 12 quarterback. I mean, 6 quarterbacks going in the first 12 picks. I mean, that's literally 50% of the draft. Going in the first 12 picks was quarterbacks. Like, when does that ever happen?
All right, what does it say about the state of the National Football League that the first 14 picks in the 2024 NFL draft were all offensive players? And as a former defensive lineman, are you pissed?
Of course I'm pissed. It's disgusting. It lets you know the thought process of the NFL right now, right? It's an offensive-based league. And more so, I think teams are looking at it as if I don't have a quarterback, I have no chance, right? Because I don't think anybody would have penciled 6 quarterbacks in the first 12. And you stated it, the first defensive player was Laiatu Latu. He didn't go till pick 15. So almost halfway through the draft, that was when the first defensive player came, which is unheard of. I think the longest in recent memory was like 7 picks, right, before a defensive player had been taken. So you're talking about double that before a defensive player was taken. So I just think it shows you the way the NFL is trending. Offensive-based league, the old school, you know, defense wins championships, EA, is here no more.
But the bottom line is it, from a Jets perspective, it made sense that they were going offensive player because they have a very good defense.
Correct.
That might be elite if a couple things happen here this year. And on paper, I think it's a better unit than last year, but we'll get to that here in a couple moments. But we knew all along that, hey, it's either going to be tackle or receiver, and you weren't surprised at all that Douglas did not take Brock Bowers.
No, not at all. And I've read some things and talked to a few people, and I don't even think it was a consideration for the Jets. EA, you've heard me say multiple times, I love this tight end room the Jets have. We can talk about Tyler Conklin, Jeremy Rucker, and I think Joe Douglas spoke to that as well, and also Robert Saleh. They love that tight end room as well. And you talk about Zach Kuntz, a developmental guy that they took in the 7th, who has another year under his belt. You would think the development would be there also with Kenny Yeboah. But those two top guys, I think, are surefire, really good players when you talk about Tyler Conklin and Jeremy Rucker. So to me, again, you can say what you want about Brock Bowers. And again, I like Brock Bowers as a player, but positional value is a real thing. You could say he's a weapon X and all this and that. He's still a tight end at the end of the day. And, you know, obviously the Raiders, when they got to their pick, even though they took Michael Mayer last year, they decided, you know, he was so high on our board, let's go ahead and grab him. I still thought that was a little rich, even for him at 13. But I love what the Jets did and not getting Brock Bowers. Not to say he's not a good player. I just think tackle made a lot more sense for the New York Jets.
Is it possible that Fashanu has a higher ceiling than Joe Alt, who went number 5 overall to the Chargers?
He has the highest ceiling in this draft at offensive tackle. I don't even think it's close. When you talk about a guy that has the arm length that he has, the lower body strength that he has, how he's able to move people off the football. Now, a lot of people will say in that Ohio State game, he got beat with some power, but he still didn't give up a sack in that game. So when you look at it at the end of the day, as long as your quarterback doesn't get sacked, you did your job as an offensive tackle. So he's going to get stronger. He's already got great lower body strength. I saw he was working out with Duke out there in Texas, and I saw some of those deadlifts. Good Lord.
Oh, my God. He's a unit. Crazy, man.
He's a unit now. He's a unit. Yo, so he's only going to get stronger.
Dudes, if he's working out at the gym and I walk in, I'm going to do some cardio.
I'll be back to lift weights later.
So day two, the Jets had to wait a little bit. Joe Douglas, not afraid to trade on draft weekend. 6 in all, 4 trade downs.
Yeah, it's funny. We'll get into Malachi, but I literally thought on day 3, I'm like, are the Jets ever going to pick EA? Like, every time we were up, it was a trade back, trade down, trade back, trade back. But getting into Corley, this was a guy that the Jets were extremely high on, right? You know, they got to see him out there at the Senior Bowl, and you saw the text message that went viral, right, between Joe D and Robert Saleh. Malachi Corley, no matter what, right? A little draft day homage right there. Respect to that movie. And Corley,
Saleh said, by the way, Ethan interviewed him, our own Ethan Greenberg, after the draft.
I saw that.
And Saleh said he loved the movie, but Joe Douglas hated it.
Joe D doesn't. No GM probably likes that movie, man. No GM probably likes that movie. But when you talk about Malachi Corley and what he where he fits in with the Jets, I think the Jets were higher on him than a lot of other than other teams.
Agreed.
Were. Like, there's rumors. There's rumors that he was number 4 after the big 3 on their list, which I could see why. When you look at the way he plays, it kind of fits the mantra of all gas, no breaks that Robert Saleh has. He is a guy that you just got to get the ball in space. They call him the Yak King, right? Because yards after contact are big for him, or yards after – I say yards after contact for him. It's yards after contact, but that means yards after catch. But for Malachi Corley, EA, it's yards after contact because he's a guy that's no fair dodging. I mean, this guy put up 225 27 times. That's what D Lyman put up, right? So you see the strength in the body. You see it on film constantly, him just shrugging guys off, running through guys. He's one of those guys that he's going to make defensive backs make business decisions, EA. And he's a guy where you just get the ball to him in, on screens, on crossing patterns, you know, speed sweeps, and just let him go. He has a different skill set than any other receiver in that room. So that's why I think he fits in really well. He's a guy that's probably going to get 5 to 6 touches a game where they just get him the ball in space and just let him go.
It's interesting the way he was used at Western Kentucky. Do you take a similar approach at the next level with the Jets and specifically this offense?
Yeah, for sure. As he develops his route tree, because that was a big question mark for him, you know, how diverse was his route tree. And I think at the Senior Bowl, he showed pretty well, right? There's a clip. I remember him going one-on-one with Quinyon Mitchell, who to me was the number one corner. He's, you know, stemmed him outside and beat him inside. And I was like, okay, that's growth right there in his route development. And that's something that the Jets can work on. But I think for his rookie year, you have a plan in place for him where you just get him the ball similar to what Western Kentucky did and just let him go.
Man, how unique is it the way he runs after the catch? I know, hey, listen, I hate putting pro comps on guys, but when you hear Deebo,
I know where you're going.
When you hear Deebo Samuel, your ears perk up and you're like, what?
Yeah. I think the difference between the two, the physicalness is definitely Deebo. I think Deebo has a little bit more acceleration than Malachi Corley. Yeah. But the physicalness and the way that Deebo runs and the way he makes DBs make business decisions, it's on the money. To me, he actually reminds me a little bit more of Golden Tate. I think people tend to forget how good Golden Tate was and how physical Golden Tate was after he caught the ball, right? You just go back to when he was, I think, in Detroit, and he played Seattle, and he caught that ball on the sideline and stiff-armed one dude and then flipped in the end zone to score a touchdown. Like, it shows you the lower body strength that he has, and Malachi Corley is just like Golden Tate in that manner, and I think they'll use him in the same way that, you know, the Detroit Lions used him as well, where they use him a lot of crossing patterns. That way you get him on a safety in one-on-one in the open field, and you make that safety make a decision whether he's really about that life tackling or not. That's why I think, you know, this offense should do with Malachi Corley.
Let's get to day three of the draft. Surprise here at all from your perspective that the Jets go two running backs sandwiched around a quarterback? We knew the developmental passer was going to come at some point day three, and we'll get to Jordan Travis in a second. But your thoughts on Allen from Wisconsin, Isaiah Davis from South Dakota State?
Yeah, both big physical backs. I think Braylon Allen, if you look at the 2022 tape, I mean, he was a monster, EA. Like, I believe he led the nation in broken tackles, and it was like by a large amount. It wasn't even close. Right. I mean, when you look at him, just look at the physique of him, it kind of reminds you of King Henry, like, honestly. And it's funny that I said that because they actually, I believe, work out together in Texas. So he's actually shifty for a guy his size. Now, he's not the best pass catcher at all, but he's a guy that's going to get you those tough yards. And guys just seem to bounce off of him, EA, like, literally. And then Isaiah Davis, I'm a huge Isaiah Davis fan. I remember calling his playoff game 2 years ago out there in South Dakota when they played UC Davis. At the time, they had a running back that was in front of him named Pierre Strong. But Isaiah Davis was started taking carries away from him because he was that special of a player. Ultra productive. He has a Le'Veon Bell running style. Real patience behind the line of scrimmage. And then he explodes through the second level. And he's another guy that's physical. Like, he's going to make you make a business decision in that secondary. So they got two backs that are different than what's currently on their roster. Not that Breece Hall can't be a physical back, but when you look at him and Izzy Abanikanda, you talk about guys that have the top end speed that can really take it the distance. These two guys are more physical, right? They're going to get you those gritty yards that you need.
Breece Hall is dangerous in open field. He was hurting defensive backs last year. The other thing about Davis that is quite surprising, and you could add some color here since you've seen him in person, is that I've been told the guy is a really good special teams player, and I was shocked by that because just looking at his stats and his numbers, I thought there'd be no time for him to play special teams.
No time for special teams. Yeah. But that's a really well-run South Dakota State team, right? They actually had, I believe, two offensive linemen, Mason McCormick and Greenfield, get drafted as well. They actually had two receivers, I think, go free agents. They're twin brothers, the Yankee brothers. So this is a program that, you know, even though it's FCS, it's ran like an FBS, right? And guys go there and develop really well. We talked about Pierre Strong. He was a high draft pick or a fourth rounder, I believe, for the Patriots, then got traded to the Cleveland Browns. And let's not forget, Dallas Goedert was another guy that was there as well. So they developed players really well, and they had a corner going the seventh round. So this is a program that develops guys really well, and they understand what it takes to get to the next level. So a lot of those skill position players, they're special teams aces on that team. Like, some of their best players are their best special teams players. So that's a program, again, if you're not fortunate enough to go FBS and you can get a scholarship to go to FCS, that's a school you should look at because they're going to get you prepared for the next level.
The other thing I like about Allen, he's 20 years old.
He's
the youngest player in the draft class.
He's very young. Yeah. So a lot of upside there as well. And one thing he does really well, too, is protection. And we know that's a big thing for rookie quarterbacks coming into the league. You got to be able to fit it up there and protect the quarterback. But you also got to know what you're doing back there, EA, right? When the line slides, you got to know if you got a guy up in the middle or you got a guy off the edge. You have to know these things, and that's the big thing for Aaron Rodgers. He's not going to have a back in the backfield unless they know what they're doing protection-wise. So I think Braylon Allen coming in is a guy that's proven at Wisconsin. He knows the protections. He knows he can stick it up there. And we know he's a bigger back too, EA. So the physicalness and contact, he's not going to shy away from. He's going to fit it up with linebackers blitzing up the middle. So I think that gives him a nice edge, too, in regards to maybe seeing the field this year.
With all the player acquisitions on the offensive side of the ball, are you seeing a change of mindset from the Jets? Not that they were a finesse team before on the offensive side, but I'm just thinking physical, tough.
I love what you're
nasty.
Going. I love what you're doing.
When you're talking about John Simpson, and then you trade, correct, you bring Morgan back here, and you got Tyron Smith, and then you get Fashanu, and then you come in and you get Corley, and then you get these two big burly backs who are just really good after contact, and they want to just run through you. I just think that a mindset change is underway in a big time way.
I'm so glad you brought that up, EA, because when you look at this team and you look at the personnel that's been added and you look at kind of how they finished the season, when you go to the Denver Broncos game, you go to the Patriots game, this team by nature and Nathaniel Hackett and where he came from, the LaFleur tree, is a zone-based team. But they started playing and running more gap scheme. And if you look at the guys they brought in, John Simpson was one of the best pulling guards in football last year. Morgan Moses is one of the best run-blocking tackles in all of football. You talked about the physical backs they brought in. Braylon Allen is a good gap scheme back. You got a patient running back in Isaiah Davis, who's a physical back as well. Could we see a philosophy change this year, EA, instead of running more zone, running more gap scheme, where you're going to get double teams, guard pull, more physical runs? I think Robert Saleh as a defensive coach would love that, right? And the personnel kind of measures up to that as well. So I can't wait to see that. And then you talk about having a guy like Jeremy Rucker who will rip your face off in the run game as well. Like, I think this team will play a little bit more. They'll still have the split zone in there, obviously, but I think you're going to see a little bit more gap scheme with this team as well.
And Aaron Rodgers is one of the best players in the history of this game, but he's also an exceptional play-action passer.
Correct.
And he knows, obviously, when to exploit matchups. And you add, hey, we have a punishing style running game. You got Rodgers, who is so gifted as far as looking at the defense and saying, I know where I have my strengths in the formation here. And then you get Corley into the mix where, hey, you can get him the ball 5-6 times a game. And hey, watch out defensive backs because he's coming after you. Garrett Wilson's going to get more space. You like the tight end room. I don't know, man. I'm excited about what this offense potentially could be.
Yeah, I think if you just look on paper, and we've stated this before, EA, being on paper means absolutely nothing, right? You got to go out there and do it. But just on paper, this is one of the most complete rosters in the NFL. And this is not me being a homer. I guarantee most people would agree with that as well. When you talk about a championship-type defense that added the caliber of player that Hassan Reddick is, like, who was in the running for Defensive Player of the Year, right? And then you look at Aaron Rodgers potentially coming back. You add a perennial all-pro at tackle in Tyron Smith, an Ironman tackle in Morgan Moses. You get Olu Fashanu, right? You get the Yak King in Malachi Corley. You got Mike Williams, who's one of the best contested 50-50 jump receivers in the NFL, and Garrett Wilson, who was just one of the best all-around young receivers in the game. And let's not forget, Breece Hall is going to make this all come together, right? He's one of the best pure playmakers in the NFL. Like, again, on paper, this is one of the most complete rosters. But, again, it has to be done on the field.
Jordan Travis, we knew the Jets were going to go a young quarterback. They go the Florida State passer there in round.
Are you still searching for your perfect place to call home? Well, now is the time to buy at Fisher Homes. If you're looking to move in before the end of 2024, May could be your last opportunity to start building your dream home and close before the year's end. If you're hoping to move in even sooner, Fisher Homes also has homes that are move-in ready and waiting for you, where you can start enjoying the benefits of homeownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with a new home advisor today at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home.
Round five, that was a trade up. Joe Douglas didn't want to wait any longer, so he sends a pair of picks to the Eagles. What can you say about his journey? And also, what do you like about this acquisition?
Well, when you look at it, besides Jaden Daniels, EA, I would say Jordan Travis probably had the best ascension at quarterback besides Jaden Daniels. And we're talking about growth from the quarterback position. Was the best player in the ACC last year, which says a lot when you got a guy that goes number three overall in Drake May from North Carolina. Jordan Travis was the best player in that conference. And I don't think anybody could even question that. Like, we saw what he meant to that Florida State team, and him not being there left them out of the college football playoffs, right? That lets you know how important he was to that team. Really grew as a passer, really good touch passer, doesn't have the strongest arms, tough, competitive guy when he does put his foot in the ground and run, very dynamic in the open space running the football, and he's comfortable throwing on the run. And I think the biggest thing about him and why the staff really loves him, he's just competitive.
Yeah.
He's really competitive, EA, like, in regards to, like, just leaving it all there on the line to win games. That's what Jordan Travis does. They asked a lot of them at the line of scrimmage last year at Florida State in regards to checks and getting them in the right play. So you love that extension in this game as well, because we see so many times in college football where, you know, these quarterbacks look to the sideline, and he did some of that as well, but a lot of it was on him to make sure people were in the right positions at Florida State. So, again, you're right. I was probably higher on Michael Pratt for the Jets, but I could see why they went Jordan Travis. And he gets a great redshirt year to learn by two consummate pros in Tyrod Taylor and Aaron Rodgers. I mean, who better to learn from as you grow and develop as a young quarterback?
He actually started his career at Louisville. Like you said,
yep.
His ascension at Florida State was really something else. And Mike Norvell, when he went to Florida State, kept him, and he became the face of that team. And last year, 20 touchdowns, 2 interceptions. That's
takes
really
care of
good.
The football.
That's really good decision making. Did he throw better with anticipation as his career progressed? And also, can you talk about his movement skills? Unfortunately, he went down against North Alabama. You feel so bad for Florida State, the program, that they couldn't compete for a national championship. But also the person, Jordan Travis, and everything he had been through to get to that point, because Florida State struggled for a while. And then Norvell comes in, and they take all these massive steps, and Jordan Travis is right here, and he goes down. He's not able. But talk about his evolution as a passer, growing with throwing with anticipation, and also can he be a dual threat on this level as well eventually?
Yeah, I would say going into 2 years ago, EA, I would say there was no way he was able to play quarterback at the next level. Mm. That's the type of extension he's had. Now, he still needs to work on some of those anticipation throws that you were talking about. Doesn't throw with great anticipation. But again, he's gotten better in that aspect. And he's gotten better with his touch throws. And I talked about him being a touch throw. He doesn't have the biggest arm in the world as far as downfield throws. But he can make every throw that you need him to make. And we talked about it, or you alluded to his playmaking ability, right? I would say 2 years ago, first where he wasn't there, he would take off. You saw the growth in the pocket this year, and that's the most important thing for a young quarterback, to sit in there, go through your progressions, and then if nothing's there, take off. Where before it was, all right, first read's not there, I'm taking off because this is what I'm going to rely on, my athletic ability. We really saw him grow in the last 2 years when it comes to that. And the thing about him, we talked about him being competitive. There were rumors, like when he first got there and when Norvell first got there, that he wasn't going to be the guy, right? Mm-hmm. He was in the competition. He was starting and he wasn't starting. But you love the attitude to not transfer, right? To stick it out, fight through adversity, and lay it on the line for your brothers and your teammates and continue to grow. I think too many times in today's society, guys, if they don't get their way, they're willing to just quit or, you know, go somewhere else in the transfer portal. I think there's something to be said for Jordan Travis for sticking it out when he got to Florida State, when maybe Mike Norvell didn't always believe in him in the beginning. He earned that trust, and he earned the trust of his teammates. And then when you hear people talk about him, I think I've talked to Jermaine about him, just glowing reviews. They love this kid. They love what his makeup is. They love what he's all about. So I think from that standpoint, he fits in perfectly with the Jets and what they're trying to build, right? The attitude that he plays with, right? The type of player he is and the human being that he is, right? So he's been tested. He's been through adversity. He's come out on the other side. And like I said, EA, who better to learn from than Aaron Rodgers and Tyrod Taylor as you're trying to develop in the NFL?
Yeah, it's a great situation for him. So let's go to the sixth round, Quantez Stiggs. First off, did you know that you could actually draft Canadian Football League players? I thought the guy was going to be a free agent.
Yeah, I didn't know that until this year when he was in the West game. And my guy, shout out to my guy Emery Hunt, he put me on to him. He was like dudes, you got to watch this kid from the CFL. He was like, he's different, he's ready. And when I got on that tape from the East West game, I was like, oh, Quantez Stiggers can play some football. I mean, we'll probably talk about his story in a little bit, but just the football player alone, EA, when you can play in Canada, you can play in the NFL, because you got to understand the field's bigger.
Yep.
Those receivers get a running start coming at you. So Stiggers has proven he can play in man, he can play off man. And I think, honestly, the Jets might even try him at safety, EA.
Where's his fit?
Yeah, I think on this team, that'll be a transition for him. The thing is, we talked about this, EA. Like, corner was a sneaky need for this team. So could they potentially keep him at corner? Because let's not forget, three of our top four corners are going to be free agents next year. When you talk about Brandon Echols, you talk about DJ Reed, you talk about Michael Carter II, which hopefully one of those guys get an extension before the season starts, because you would like to have some continuity coming back in that unit, because it's one of the best units in all of football.
Well, Sauce Gardner's extension eligible after next season, too, right?
He's eligible to get a new deal as well. So some decisions are going to have to be made. So that's why when me and you were talking, I was like, corner on the low is a sneaky need for this team. So I could see where they maybe try him at safety this year and then put him back at corner, or they cross train him where, you know, a lot of guys do that, where they play corner and safety, just because, you know, you only go into the game with three safeties sometimes. If somebody goes down, somebody's got to be able to come in and play. I think he'll be that guy. That's the cross guy that plays corner and safety for the Jets, just because he has experience playing both.
Quantez Stiggers. You were a guy who was undrafted. You tweeted about day three and how much you liked those stories. Stiggers, this story's wild, man.
Amazing Stazen.
Right?
Amazing story. It's like, for a guy who was supposed to go to Lane College coming out, his dad unfortunately passed. He wanted to help his mom out, started delivering food as a food service delivery guy. I believe it's either he has 13 siblings or he's one of 13 siblings, and wanted to help out his mom. But this is how you know, like, his family, his mom is special, because she knew what his dream was, right? She signs him up for fan control football, which was a new thing at the time, right? Just so he could play football. And he goes out there and I believe has five or six interceptions, EA. One scout from the CFL gets his tape, and they're able to see his tape, and they sign him. Not only does he go to Canada, EA, he becomes Rookie of the Year and has five interceptions. You talk about a crazy story, and like a story of determination and not giving up on your dream, even though you've been through so much adversity and obstacles, but to have the staying power to continue to fight for what you want, like, you root for guys like Quantez Stiggers. Like, you're praying that he does well, because most people would have quit, EA. Yep. Literally, most people would have quit. They would have been like, you know, why is this always happening to me? But that never happened with this kid. He stayed to it, kept his head down, kept working, had his family love and support, and look where he's at now in the NFL, and didn't play college football.
Man, just to echo your sentiments there, the Jets clearly loved him. You watch those phone calls on draft weekend throughout the National Football League. It's so fun.
Brought tears in my damn eyes.
So Jeff Ulbrich gets on the line. He's in tears. He's the Jets defensive coordinator. Later, it's passed to T.O., and T.O. is so beloved. Tony O., and the cornerback's coach here. And Bobby Mastrodi, the head of security.
That's my guy, man. And when Bobby got on the phone and almost lost it, that's when I lost it.
Yeah?
That's when I lost it, yeah.
So bring people on the inside, man. You've worked here. What kind of figure is Bobby inside this organization?
Correct.
For fans who just watching that clip?
Bobby's the guy. If you don't know, Bobby's our head security guy. Bobby has been putting it down for years. He was there when I was he was there before I was a player. He was there while I was a player. He was there as I came in as a broadcaster. He's my guy, and Bobby means a lot to me. Me and Bobby have a really good relationship. And for your security guy, and Bobby, I think, said he only spent like 15 minutes with him in a meeting when he came on a visit. And like, it was such an impactful meeting that you rarely see the security guy get on the phone on draft day when somebody makes calls.
Yeah,
that lets you know what type of guy Quantez Stiggers is. When Bobby was like, "Coach, I need to talk to this kid." Like, everybody in that room wanted to talk to this kid. That lets you know how special he truly is. And I'm so glad he's with the Jets, because, again, the adversity and things that he went through, and it's a common theme, right? We just talked about Jordan Travis. Now, he didn't go through what Stiggers went through, obviously, but he did injury-wise, and he did, you know, mental-wise, as far as maybe having some self-doubt at times when he was in college. the Jets wanted to get guys that were mentally strong. And I love that. If you can be mentally strong, the physical is nothing, EA. Like, we're all physically gifted. It's the mental that usually separates where the guys last in the NFL or not.
Full disclosure, Bobby's one of my closest friends. We shared an office together way back in the Hofstra days.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. So we go ways back. I mean, listen, yeah, that was a great moment. It was a cool moment. And I also was quite pleased to see Michael Carter II was one of the first guys on social media to say, be pumped up about the move because he trains with Stigger. So that's a cool connection already.
That's amazing, right?
So let's go to Mr. Irrelevant, Mr. Key from Alabama. What should we know about him? And also, how does he potentially try to make this roster?
Yeah, I think Jalen Key's road to the roster is probably going to be on special teams. Now, he does have the opportunity. He's more of the in-the-box guy. I think he does have an opportunity to, if he develops really well, EA, potentially push to be a third safety on this team. Again, Chuck Clark's coming off a major injury. You would think he's going to be healthy because it happened so early during the training camp process. Ashton Davis comes back. Tony Adams is in that building. So T.O. and the rest of the staff, Jeff Albrecht, they had glowing reviews about him as well. So this is a player, like, again, I think they even said it on Twitter, like, even though you're the last pick, you're the most important pick, you're not Mr. Irrelevant to us, right? So, like, this is a player that, you know, in past years, Mr. Irrelevant has had a hard time making the team. You know, besides, you know, Brock Purdy, usually that last pick in the draft has struggled to make the team. A lot of times the guy makes either practice squad or doesn't make the roster. I remember Grant Stewart from Tampa Bay. He made the team too. He was a special teams ace for the Bucs. I think he got traded to the Patriots, if I'm not mistaken. So, like, it's usually a hard road for Mr. Irrelevant, but I think this kid actually has a real chance. It's going to start in special teams, though, okay, EA, for him to actually make the team.
Man, a lot of cool stories for the Jets this draft. I think fans are really going to gravitate towards Malachi Corley, Jordan Travis, and Quantez Stiggers. I mean, it just the backstories of what they had to do to get to the spot. But all in all, it all starts with Olu Fashanu. So
it does. But before we get out of here, because I know we're about to get out of here, CMEA, I want to talk about some undrafted free agents. Come on, man. Okay, you can't have me in here as an undrafted free agent and think we're not going to talk about some undrafted free agents, EA?
Okay. We haven't officially. Listen, the podcast is going out before these guys actually sign. So I got to preface by saying it looks like the Jets have agreed to terms with a number of guys. Nothing is official until they sign. Nothing ahead. The floor is yours.
Two guys, and of course I'm going to the D-line, obviously.
Of course
right?
you are.
we'll start with Leonard Taylor, and then I'll talk about my favorite signing of the Jets after that. Leonard Taylor, a guy that a lot of people had going in like the fourth or fifth round. Mm. His 2022 tape was a lot better, was a guy that could give you some of that interior pass rush. I thought this year he kind of played out of position. Sometimes they had him over the center, and he played with high pad level as well, which I think really hurt him in his development. But for a guy that a lot of people had maybe going in the fourth, fifth, sixth round, I had him more as a sixth round guy. I think that's great value to get him in as an undrafted free agent. But my favorite potential, again, like you said, EA, because these signings haven't become official yet.
Right.
My favorite potential signing for the Jets is Braydon McGregor out of Michigan. I mean, the Jets just lost John Franklin Myers in a trade to the Denver Broncos. Braydon McGregor has a similar game to John Franklin Myers.
Wow.
He's a guy that a lot of people kind of didn't know where he would pencil in at because he's a big defensive end. He's like 270, 275. But he also showed in that game versus Alabama, he can rush inside. He had two sacks in that game. So that's why I say the comparison to John Franklin Myers, who is probably the best run edge guy we had on our team. But he also brought that grittiness, right? He was the unsung hero of the defense. He was able to slide and rush on third down. I think Braydon McGregor gives you some of that as well. So, honestly, EA, I had him as a fourth round pick. Wow. So, I was surprised he didn't get drafted.
So
that's a major for the Jets to get him.
So, we're circling McGregor. You think he's got a real chance here?
I think he has a chance to make the team, for sure.
You just talked about it. The thoughts on John Franklin Myers being sent to Denver. And did you feel this was inevitable after the Jets acquired Hassan Reddick?
Yes. Yeah, I hated it, but I kind of knew. I actually talked to JFM when it happened.
Okay.
And, you know, I told him, you know, cause that's my guy. If anybody knows, that's my guy. So I was just like, this is the part of the business that I hate. Right. We kind of knew that something was going to happen. This was going to come down the pike just because, you know, Jermaine had an extension, right? Pro Bowl player. So you would think he's going to start. You trade for Hassan Reddick. He's starting, right?
Yes.
It's different than like when he played in Philly, because they kind of ran a hybrid 3-4 where the Jets predominantly run a 4-3, right?
Quickly, estimate this for me. I'm cutting you off here. Reddick played 74% of the snaps each of the last two seasons in Philadelphia.
Correct.
You think that probably goes down a little bit here the way – no. You still
no,
see –
No, not
you
at all.
Okay.
So, yeah. I know the way the Jets play,
yeah,
but I just know how Hassan Reddick is. Like, he's not going to be one that's going to want to come off the field.
Okay.
Right? So, like
– So with that being said, that even makes it more clear why
And I think that was part – not just the money, but I think that was part of it as well. Like, Hassan Reddick is a guy that usually doesn't miss games or miss snaps.
Right.
So he's on the field, like you said, 74% of the time. And then also you saw the extension, the ascension of Jermaine. You would think his, you know, play time would go up as well this year as well. So, like, he kind of saw the writing on the wall. Wished him nothing but the best. And again, that's my guy. So I told him, this is the part of the business that I hate. And I know this coaching staff didn't want to make that move. But, you know, with the cap and everything else, and then some of the things that we just stated about how Hassan Reddick doesn't come off the field, you kind of knew this was coming down the pipe.
30 seconds. What's the counter on the edge as far as now teams are going to try to attack you without JFM there as far as running football?
Correct. So, Jermaine was already a really good run
stopping
defensive end. So, I mean, and Hassan Reddick is an under-the-radar really good guy steadying the edge, right, and forcing the ball back inside. So I think Michael Clemens is going to have to step up this year. Also, we took another guy in the first round, and Will's going to have a big year as well. And I think this coaching staff is looking at Jermaine and saw how he was able to develop and have a really good second year. They're hoping that Will does the same thing this year as well. So I think Braden McGregor could be a sleeper too, in regards to that as well. He's a guy I think Jet fans should keep their eye on.
Well, man, I've had a blast with our draft coverage.
For sure. It's been great.
Yeah. I mean, you set us up well prior to the draft, and now you're taking us home after draft weekend. What do you think? 5 years down the line, how is this class going to be remembered?
I was telling Caroline this earlier today. I think when you look at Olu, and my comp for him was a guy that manned the left side for the Jets for a long time and never missed any time.
Yep.
And the Brickashaw Ferguson, I think him alone will make this a really good draft class, right? Because I think he is going to be the Jets left tackle by his skill set for the next 10 to 15 years. I honestly do believe that. I think he's that good. Right, I think he could be that special. So when you look at this draft class, it's all going to be about what the first round pick is. Right now, the other guys are important as well, and I think Stiggers has a chance to stick around. I think Corley, if he keeps developing with his route running, has a chance to stick around as well. But it's all going to be started with Olu Fashanu and his development at left tackle.
Love it, brother. You have a good day and get some rest.
Appreciate it, EA.
Are you still searching for your perfect place to call home? Well, now is the time to buy at Fisher Homes. If you're looking to move in before the end of 2024, May could be your last opportunity to start building your dream home and close before the year's end. If you're hoping to move in even sooner, Fisher Homes also has homes that are move-in ready and waiting for you, where you can start enjoying the benefits of homeownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with a new home advisor today at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home.
Managing your diabetes just got easier. The powerful new Dexcom G7 lets you see your glucose numbers on your compatible watch and phone without fingersticks. And because Dexcom G7 is the most accurate CGM system, you can be confident in your food, exercise, and medication decisions. And all those decisions can lead to big results, like more time in range and lower A1C. Get started at Dexcom.com.
Dexcom data on file 2023. If your glucose alerts and readings from the G7 do not match symptoms or expectations, use a blood glucose meter to make diabetes treatment decisions. For a list of compatible devices, visit Dexcom.com/compatibility.